Well, in the past, how did people describe the South? You know, 50 years ago, even 70 years ago.
You knew everybody. If they didn't see you, something they'd come see you. And when we, I remember my daddy got sick whenever I was just a small kid. I just barely can't remember. And in 1916, I was just a year old then. I can't remember that. But they tell me that he got sick and had to go to Birmingham. They didn't have an operation with Gadsden. He had appendicitis and put him on the plane, on the train, and carried him to Birmingham. And it rained and it rained and rained, and it got so wet and grassy you could hardly tell where the road was. Well, he would have probably lost it by himself if he'd been able to work. But one day, all the neighbors drove their mules up to the house. A lot of women come with hoes, they hoed that crop out. And whenever his surf got ready to make the surf, they made it up. No pain. And I've seen him go help the neighbors plow. Who does that today?
So how would you describe the South today?
Well, it's don't have time for it.
You don't even know your next door neighbor.
No.
I'm sorry to say that people live all around me. I've never seen them. I don't know what their names are.
We got about 12 people right off yonder that we don't even know their names. We just see them go down the road, and they go through here going to school, and they go so fast you can't even tell who they are. And that's about all you see. It's just completely turned around. You go to funerals today.
Well, do you think it was just a change in agriculture, or do you think it was a change in times in the entire
change
United States?
Times, people. When you give people all they want, they're not satisfied. They want something else to be satisfied. That they got time for. And if you had people that were hungry, needed something, needed your affection, your help, there's a lot better. I don't believe we have as much sickness today as we did.
A lot more people's lives are saved.
Yeah.
Back then, they would die because you didn't have the doctors,
yeah. Right? People living older.
Mm-hmm.
We went to see some people, and they said, when you want to come to our house, you'll have to call in advance. So, I don't know.
Okay, what advice would you give to a person or a family who would like to become farmers today?
If you've got plenty of money, and you want to work, it's all right to farm. But if you don't have any money,
so you gotta have money to start
if
out.
If you're expecting to make it a farmer, and you don't have any money.
The main thing is that you have the desire and want to be a farmer. If you are not happy at something, you will never make a go at it, no matter how much money or anything else you've got. You've got to have that heart desire. That's what I want to do.
Well, now, it takes around 100 acres of land for a family to live, raise a family, and work on a farm. If you go out here and buy 100 acres of land, and land, good land now, $1,000 an acre, how many dollars is that? If you want to build a fine home, how much does a home cost? Used to, $400-$500 with timber off the farm you could build your house. Today, a decent house is $50,000. And your tractor is another $15,000-$20,000. And then you've got your fertilizer to buy, $30,000-$40,000. We spend as much as $40,000 a year for fertilizer and seed. This plant. Who could do it now if you didn't have money? We didn't have money. We had to borrow money. Everything your cars. You just go down and heard Daddy bought that $500 car. Today, it's 25. A car like they bought then is somewhere around close to $20,000. A model Ford that Daddy bought for $265 is used. You go down today and buy one in that shape, the model today, $10,000 to $15,000. So it just, you just got to have some money or some backing before you can farm.
Farming's just different than what it used to be.
And the thing about it, last year, the cotton crop was enormous. I mean, talk about it, 1994 crop. The 95 crop got blown away with Oakland. But my sister's daughter and her husband had 500 acres of cotton. And they said they were running from a bale and a half to 2 bales an acre. And that storm come, and ground got so soft they couldn't even go through the field. It tore up. They didn't. They averaged about a bale an acre. We were lucky to get there. A lot of people didn't get that much. We see 500 acres of cotton there. You got a lot of money there. And it just.
Well, how does a small farmer compare to these large farmers? Like
who's,
you had the large.
Who's a small farmer? Then?
Well, like you had at one time you said you had 105 dairy cattle. Would that be small compared to like the larger farms you have up in Wisconsin? I mean, today.
Well, they used to up there. They milked around 20 cows, and they said they were so many hundred dairies going out, 120 dairies a day going out in a month. Anyway, it's normal enough. But that was these people with little dairies that had jobs somewhere else. Let's see, we had 106 dairies when we bought this herd of cows. We were the 106th dairy in the three-county area that sold trophy dairy cattle. Today, trophy dairy is gone. We got all its husbands sell milk to them. And they were, the last time I heard, they had 6 dairies left.
Yeah,
but those 6 dairies were producing about as much milk as what? Outside of some, they could say, we produce a lot of milk. And like Mr. Wright, they produce a lot of milk. Yeah.
Well, do you think that the technology, like I read an article in the newspaper the other day about a dairy farmer in Wisconsin that's fixing to go out because he couldn't keep up with a larger dairy, and he used computers. He installed a computer system, and the computer system cost him some money, but he has more than doubled his milk production on his cows, and it saved him, and he went making a profit instead of going in the red on it. Do you think that as technology increases, do you think that it can help agriculture come back?
You still got to have some money, though.
Okay.
Now, that guy with those computers, suppose that he had a little bad luck, or if he got sick, well, they would take care of him there for a while. Mm-hmm. A little bit. And their crops, these boys, it makes a good crop every year, they're all right. But if they fail a year, then another thing that when we first come out here, A.P. Hollingsworth over here, we didn't even have to go to the bank. We just tell him we needed money. And it got down to the place where we borrowed money. And we've been borrowing all the years, coming right on this. And it got to where every time we went down, they had to run another check on him, have a financial statement with everything, know everything you're doing. And sometimes they'd say, well, we wish we didn't have a single farmer, said we don't get in trouble. Well, that is just taking so much money for the amount of debt making.
So really today, instead of a farming being a family business, it would be, you'd have to have the backing of an enterprise or a corporation.
Sure.
It's just not the small thing.
If you spent $50,000 out here to make a crop, if you didn't get the $25,000 back, you was out of luck.
Yeah.
everything had bowled up. That timber's what saved us. The deer made us good money for a while, and then it got started costing. Now the timber has been good ever since we started, and it's still good.
Is there anything else
you'd
like to say?
We like our traveling. We've traveled a little over 300,000 miles in four motorhomes.
And in all this time, it's even over the years, having to have someone look after the farm,
it's
important to have family time and vacation.
If it was, see, we bought the first one in 79, another one in 80, and then 84 and 87. Made some pretty good money along with that. And we got it. If we had to depend on buying one today and taking money to travel, no way we could even catch it.
But even with Mama, and then
with
Lily, you always set money aside for vacation, didn't you?
Yeah. But today, it's just not. It costs too much to live in. And we had a couple that was going with us on this trip. Their transmission burned up. His insurance come in, you own his home. One, those two bills is $950. I said, can't go. Got it right. So, unexpected. So.
Grandma, how did you save money for trips?
Well, I had a half a gallon jar, and I saved all the change I could get a hold of. When it got it full of change, then we'd go on trips. Didn't take much money then before we got our camper to go. We had packed the back of our car full of food and take our little coals on stove, your clothes in there, take off, be gone sometimes 3 weeks at a time. We had a good time and just enjoyed it.
And y'all been married for how many years?
60 years. Last day of November.
We always worked hard. And I think anybody who works hard deserves vacation.
The best way that we've found is to go on that trip and pay for it when we went, not have to wait to get back home and pay for it. If you have to get back home and work and make money and pay for it, you may be in trouble.
You didn't really have a vacation, you didn't worry about it.
But we have had real good time. There's nothing relaxing like getting out. No matter how blue you feel, you start down the road and you see somebody different and you get seeing the things and it stops. You went to Alaska with it.
Mm-hmm.
Did it relax you?
Oh, yes, and I learned a lot too.
But you did get homesick.
I did get homesick. 3 months long, yes, I got homesick.
Sometimes you think, Lord, I can't do it. But when you start, you get out. Here, you can't sleep for the telephone ringing, somebody coming in the yard, or something other hollering, and want something. You get out to a campground. You've got to be quiet in that campground. You can't disturb people. You wake up about the regular time, go back to sleep. That's why you wake up. Well, we ain't got to go nowhere. We stay here all day. About the third time you wake up, about 9 o'clock, where you feel like getting up, eating a bite, enjoying it.